You're listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast. Earlier this week, journalism.co.uk was at the Society of Editors conference, where key industry figures debated the major topical issues of today, focusing on regulation and the ongoing reform of the Press Complaints Commission. For this week's podcast, we spoke to national and regional press representatives, as well as the directors of the PCC and the Media Standards Trust, to find out where the debate has left us. During the conference, strong opinions were shared. In a panel featuring an impressive lineup of newspaper editors, there seemed to be a consensus among the national papers that change was needed. One member of the panel was editor of The Independent, Chris Blackhurst, who spoke to us today.
I think pretty much everyone's agreed that the PCC, while it's done good work, has not operated effectively enough to satisfy the public perception of the press. I mean, the reputation of the press in the eyes of the public is probably at an all-time low, and therefore something has to be done. And the obvious place to look is the PCC.
In an interview with journalism.co.uk, Blackhurst, who took over as editor of The Independent in July, said one of the starting points needed to be addressing the issue of compliance.
So you start from the premise that whether it's the PCC reconstituted and given another name, or an entirely, the PCC disbanded and an entirely new body formed, I don't know. But you start from the premise that membership of this new body or reformed PCC has to be compulsory for any newspaper. You can't have a situation where the Desmond papers are able to make a mockery of regulation, whether it's self-regulation, they are able to make a mockery of the system by simply not taking part. Those are three national titles with substantial readerships, and they just refused to be part of the PCC. The first thing that has to happen is that newspapers must be members of this body. How you do that is, there's arguments about, well, it's very hard to define what a newspaper is. What is a newspaper? Is it somebody handing out pamphlets? Or is it something more substantial like my own newspaper? Well, the way around that is that at the moment newspapers are exempt from VAT by the Treasury. So the Treasury is able to define what constitutes a newspaper. It could. Basically, you need an Act of Parliament. It wouldn't need to be a big one. A small Act of Parliament to compel newspapers, as defined by the Treasury, to be signatories of the PCC or the new body. If they don't, if they refuse, very simply, put the VAT charge on.
One way to enforce the standards set out by such a body, he said, would be to make the code part of a journalist's responsibilities within their contract.
The code of ethics and good behaviour handed down by this body must be enshrined into every journalist's employment contract, or made a condition of any freelancer's payment. So, as a journalist on a national paper, in my employment contract, it will say that I'm expected to obey the code of ethics for this new body, and failure to do so could constitute a breach of my employment contract. And then it's very simple. We stick with the system we've got, where the PCC pronounces on an article or the behaviour of a journalist and makes it clear if it says that it believes that its code has been broken, then it comes back to the employer who must take it, it's a breach of employment contract.
With the PCC in the spotlight, we spoke to its director, Stephen Abel, during the conference on Monday to find out how the Commission was responding to the opinions being shared.
We're not here to sort of argue about for the status quo. I think the flip side is also we're not here to argue that the whole system is collapsed, which I don't think that's true either. The key is how you take the complaint system, which works all right, and look to ways to beef it up, to find ways of raising standards. The system that we have of raising standards is holding editors to account on specific complaints and doing some work on the back of it, decisions that set precedents and training. I think that's gone a certain way to raising standards, but what we're finding here is that it's not gone far enough. And so how you fill up that next bit is the challenge. And I think that's the question of the good stuff of the PCC and then beefing up the structure around compliance and the side of it.
As well as wider industry debate, the Commission is also currently reviewing its structure internally. Abel discussed the areas it will look at.
Our new chairman started 3 weeks ago, and he's starting a sort of consultation process. We've got an internal reform committee, and we're looking at those 5 key areas of this: independence, remit, powers, funding, and membership of the PCC. And that really touches on all the issues that have come out today. Who's a member? How should they be made to be a member? What powers should you have if they lapse? All of those things are in those 5 categories. And so we're in the process of doing that. That's going to be accelerated now under a new chairman who wants a short consultation and then start proposing a structural solution.
After the event, I also caught up with Martin Moore, director of the Media Standards Trust, to hear his thoughts on the debate. The MST launched an unofficial press complaints database this time last year, based on data from the PCC's website. And Moore once described the MST as one of the Commission's, and I quote, strongest critics. While discussion at the conference fairly swiftly moved to potential models for a PCC2, as it were termed, Moore argued that it may be too early for this.
I guess one of the things that struck me was there was quite a consensus around the idea that what was really needed was some sort of PCC2, which, given that we're only just starting to hear some of the evidence in the Leveson inquiry, seems premature. I don't think that we should be coming up with a solution just yet. It seems to me there's quite a bit of time to do that. But that was certainly the feeling that you got from the conference, was that many of those there, particularly the editors themselves, were keen for reform, but keen that reform essentially be around the current PCC with some additional elements, for example, some increased investigative powers, some increased sanctions, and some monitoring or regulatory capability.
One issue to be addressed is the independence of the body, both in terms of funding and its makeup, he added.
Independence is partly about the representation. So who is on the organisation in terms of both members of the industry, not just editors, but journalists themselves, but also outside the industry, members of the public, and what represents independence. But it's also about independence of funding. And at the moment, funding is far from independent. So and clearly where the money comes from, as we all know, is desperately important. So I think there are a lot of aspects of independence and how to create independence, and not just the actual independence, but the perception of independence, which is yet to be thought through.
The issue of its makeup was also raised by Blackhurst.
As to who should sit on this body, I've got mixed views about this. On the one hand, I take the argument that says that it can't comprise. Existing editors, and it looks too self-serving to have people from the top of journalism, currently at the top of journalism, sitting on a body that decides on journalism. I mean, I can see that argument. On the other hand, as an editor, as a journalist, I'm very much aware that if a case goes to the PCC, I'm being judged by my peers. And nobody likes being judged by their peers. It's a pretty hard court to be in. The idea that other editors will decide whether somebody at the Independent's broken their code, that's quite tough. So I've got mixed views about that.
Many of the calls for reform have come from national players, including newspapers and media standards groups, but representatives of the regional press say the PCC is working for them, a view shared by Northcliffe Media's Group Managing Director, Steve Auckland.
We value the PCC, the code of conduct, because that's what we should be working with. And therefore, if we've made a mistake for whatever reason, then yeah, we'll hold our hands up and say, yeah, we've made a mistake on this one. As you say, the problem on all these things are when you get an incident such as this, it's a knee-jerk reaction and the kind of how that gets pushed out to so many other forms of the media, which really you don't need a sledgehammer to crack a nut here. And that's part of probably the concern that we've got in the regional press, in that we're being dragged into it the same as the national papers are. So we're hoping in the end that the PCC will stay pretty similar to how it has been, and we can get on with our jobs. And yes, if we step out of line, we get things wrong, then obviously we're regulating, we pick this up ourselves and we sort ourselves out. But we've never ever got involved in this kind of scale of an issue before anyway.
He added that while the views of the regional press appear to differ, this did not suggest a need for a separate regulatory system.
My view is that we'll all be regulated together. I think there'll be simple guidelines which will be set out, which we would adhere to, and I think that would suffice for both for all parties, if you like, and that we can that we can buy into.
The suggestion of a separate system was also strongly rejected by Blackhurst.
To be honest, I thought we were entering a minefield if we have to start separating regional press from national press. I mean, it may be that regional press are unaffected by the current scandal over hacking, and they've clearly not in the past... They've clearly not had the resources to engage in that sort of behaviour, and perhaps they've not been under the same pressures that people at the News of the World were, so they've not gone down that road. But, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, an article in the, what the regional press does is not vastly different from what the national press does. And, I know they made a case about, well, they've got to serve their communities and things, but we have a community too on the national press. I mean, I didn't buy that argument at all. I mean, I thought you can't start separating, in terms of regulation, you can't start separating regional press from national.
You can catch up with all of journalism.co.uk's coverage from the Society of Editors Conference on our website under the SOE 11 tag. You've been listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast.